on. Torreway, North West London. Tuesday, Yud Elul, 6th of September. Dan Yoshua Posenschlitter, Prusbull, Part 1.
Morning.
Seems not so long ago that we were learning these halachas. 7 years ago, before the end of the last Shemitah. Today I'd like to talk about the halachas regarding Shemitah's Ksofim, which is of course the cause for the creation, the takana, of Prusbul. First we have to understand the dinim deiraisa, which would have applied coming up to this Rosh Hashanah. I say would because we're going to see that nowadays Shemitah's Ksofim is only a midrabanon, according to most poskim. But let's begin with the beginning. The Torah tells us in Parsha Surah A, Perek Tezvav, Miket Sheva Shonim Tase Shmitzah V'zedva Shmitzah Shomit Kol Bal Masha Yodah Asha Yashav Reyu Lo Yigoyis Esreyu Esachu Kikor Shmitzah L'Hashem. Pasuk is telling us two separate halachos. It's telling us the mitzvah saseh and it's telling us a lav. The mitzvah saseh is the mitzvah that when it comes to what Rav Rishonim learn is the end of the year of Shemitah. In other words, when it comes to this upcoming Rosh Hashanah, then there's a mitzvah deiraisa on a malve, on someone who has lent money, to turn around and shomreit kol bal mashayodei, to, at the moment we're going to keep it simple, to wipe out a choiv, asher yashav reyu. And then furthermore, there's a lav, lo yigoyis esreyu esachu kikor shmitzah l'Hashem. There's a lav not to claim, not to push, to press the loiver to pay up the chayv. So we have a mitzvah asay on the malver to wipe out the chayv. We have a lav on the malver not to claim the chayv. And then a number of psukim later, we have a separate lav. In Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Aleph, Beis. Following on, in Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk tells us a different halacha. The Pasuk is discussing looking out for the needs of Aniyim and taking care of them. And then the Pasuk tells us a separate lav, one which maybe isn't as well known. Be careful in case you have a matter in your heart which is a mushagas, as we're going to see, to say that the end of the 7th year is coming, and your poor neighbor asks you to borrow money, and you're worried about lending him money because you're worried that Shemitah will come along and wipe out the chayiv, and you don't lend him money. Says the pasuk, there's a lav, it's a chait to do such a thing. So we've got three separate halachas. There's a yesodus tikkun machlokes in the Rishonim regarding the mitzvah asay, the first halacha, which we had in pasuk base. There's a mitzvah deiraisa on the malva, on the person who's lent the money, to turn around, and the Gemara tells us that when the lover comes to pay the chayv, the malva should say, Meshamatani Bach, no, I'm not claiming anything from you, you don't owe me anything. There's a famous Yireim who understands that if the Torah is giving a mitzvah to the malva, to say to the lover, you don't owe me anything, it must be that it's the malva, the lender, who is wiping out the chayv. In other words, until the lover comes along to the malva has a claim, he's owed money. The lover comes and puts in his claim, and the malva says, no, I am meichel the chayv doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't even get to that stage. The malva says, you don't owe me any money, the chayv's been wiped out, there's a mitzvah to erase it, to wipe out the chayv. So learns the Yireim. comes along Rabbi Yigdal Kohen in the Modcha, in Gittin, and he does not learn like that. He learns, and in fact, Rav Rishonim learn, like Rabbi Yigdal Kohen, learns there's a concept called Afkata de Malka. Afkata from the word Hefka, de Malka from the word Melech, referring to the Bonish Leilam. He learns that the Bonish Leilam wipes out the Chodos when it comes to, as Machlik is in fact, whether it's the last minute before Rosh Hashanah or the first minute of this coming Rosh Hashanah, all outstanding debts, says the Torah, we'll have to see what we include in these debts, what type of chavis we're referring to, will get automatically wiped out. You don't have to do anything. The malveh can be bowing for Baruch Hu, the leveh can be bowing in a different shul, the same shul for Baruch Hu, and that moment all the debts disappear.
So in the first, the leveh still has to bridge the malveh.
Oh, 1 second. So according to Rabbi Kohen, it comes out that the mitzvah saseh of Shemoit seems to be a technicality. Because the chavit really doesn't exist anymore. You've got a mitzvah, when he comes to you, say, no, you don't owe me anything anymore. There's no chavit. But you're not doing anything. The chavit doesn't exist either way. Mashenkein, according to the Urim, and that's part of where the Urim is coming from, the Torah is giving the malva a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Just to say words which otherwise don't mean anything? He's giving a mitzvah to wipe out the chavit. Okay, says, so that's a different halacha. Says, it's not quite the same. Says the Anafka Minna between the Urim and between the Rabbi Yigdal Kohen, what would happen if, for example, you had a Yid who wasn't Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and he's, again, we're talking about when Shmita was Deraisa, we'll see nowadays what happens, and he puts in a claim, he calls you to court, says you have to pay him, you start trying to explain to him, Shmita, he's not interested, and he claims the money. So, according to the Urim, he might have been mevatel a mitzvah saseh of Shemoit. He might have been over lav of lo yigos. But the money that you paid him is his money. You owe him that money. According to Rabbi Kohen, he's a ganav. Because that chayv doesn't exist anymore. The chayv has been wiped out.
He wasn't aware of the lochus.
Doesn't matter. He's still a ganav. It doesn't change the fact that he's taken money which is not his.
But he was equal to.
Again, we're not discussing whether he has to chew or not. That's not the shayla right now. Again. The halacha is that he has taken money which doesn't belong to him. I'm not discussing what his bin adam mokim is. The metzias is the money doesn't belong to him. And there are a number of other nafkin minas which can come out from this machlekes. Let's see how much we have time for today, and mitzvah will be a follow on shir. So, famous Gemara in Gittin tells us, Gemara in Gittin Daf Lam Vav, tells us that there was a situation in Klal Yisrael at the time of Hillel HaZaken when Yidden stopped lending money as Shmita approached. Because they were worried. They were worried that Shmita's going to come along, it's going to wipe out the Chayv, and they don't want to be left caught. So they stopped lending money. Says the Gemara, it's important, Loshon, says the Gemara, if you write a puzzle, which we're not going into today, and we'll cover in the next year, that bypasses these halachas, and then Shmita won't wipe out the chayv. Hillel HaZaken saw that the people, they stopped lending each other money, and they were over the third halacha, which we learnt, this love of refraining from lending money in case, you're worried about Shmita, Omad, for his skin, Pruzbul, so therefore he got up and he was Mesaken, the halacha of Pruzbul, the concept of Pruzbul. The Gemara goes on to explain what is a Pruzbul. Fred Gemara Kasha. So think what we're saying here. We're saying that Minatayr, Shmita comes along and it wipes out the Chuv. But Hillel said, no problem, we're going to create a concept, you write a prosbul, and then you'll still be able to collect your debt. For the Gemara, me committee to midereisim mishamtsu shvius, mehiskin Hillel delay mishamtsu. Is there such a thing that minat Torah, a choyv has been wiped out, and Hillel makes a takana that it doesn't get wiped out? There's a different mahalchim, how to learn what the Gemara's kash is. Am abayi b'shvius b'zvan hazeh. No, we're talking about shvius nowadays. The sanya b'yomer, There's a double Loshon Shmita in the Parsha, and we learn from here we're talking the Pasuk to about two different Shmitas. Achas Shmitas Karka, and Achas Shmitas Ksofim. The Shmitas Karka, the famous Shmita which we all know about, which applies to the land of Eretz Yisrael, to Peiris which grow in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and then the Shmitas Ksofim. Now it's very important to understand that Shmitas Ksofim is Cholak B'Yosoyit from Shmitas Karka. It's a completely different concept, which happens to have the word Shmita in it, already in the Torah. But Be'etzem, it's a completely different halacha. It's as different to the halacha as Lashon Hara and Truma. Shmitas Karka is a din in the land of Eretz Yisrael, in the things that grow in Eretz Yisrael, in leaving the land, in Peiros that grow there, in Svichin that grow there. It's a din specifically to the land of Eretz Yisrael. We in Chutz Laaretz have to keep our eye out. We in Chutz Laaretz have to keep our eye out for Peiros which come to Chutz Laaretz, which were grown in Eretz Yisrael. But Avada, there's no halacha of Shmitas Karka on land in England. If you've got apples growing in your garden, there's nothing to do with Shmitas Karka during the year of Shmita. Shmitas Ksofim, on the other hand, is not a halacha in the land. It's got nothing to do with the land. Shmitas Ksofim is a din in a person. I, the malva, am owed money. I have a mitzvah saseh to say shmoit. I have a lav not to claim that money. It's a din in the gavra. And kol ha-tayra kula, whenever we have a din in the gavra, a din in the person, then it's irrelevant where you are. We've got mitzvahs to put on tefillin. We don't say those mitzvahs apply only in Eretz Yisrael, not on Chutz Laaretz. We've got a lav not to steal, not to mechalal Shabbos. We don't say that applies only in Eretz Yisrael, not on Chutz Laaretz. A din in the person is normally applicable wherever a person is. And therefore, that's how Ruba de Ruba, the Rishonim, that is one Rishonim learns. Not like that, but most of the Rishonim learn Shmitas Ksofim is relevant to Klal Yisrael wherever we are. However, having just made that distinction between Shmitas Karka and Shmitas Ksofim, there is a hekesh in the posset between the two. And as a result of that hekesh, the Gemara learns that Bizman Shiyata Mashama Karka, Yata Mashama Ksofim. Now Shmitas Karka is not Deiraisa, then Shmitas Ksofim is also not Deiraisa. And in fact, Rashi points out, even though Shmitas Ksofim is a din in the person, it's got nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, we have a hekesh that tells us that we don't keep Shmitas Ksofim min ha-Teir when there's no Shmitas Karka min ha-Teir. And the halacha is that nowadays, Rav Rishonim learn that Shmitas Karka is not Deiraisa, because we don't keep Yovel, we don't have Yovel, because Rav Klal Yisrael at the moment is not yet living in Eretz Yisrael. This may be something that changes at some stage, but at the moment that's the way it is. And therefore, Shmitas Karka also, Shmitas Ksofim also is not nowadays Midereis. Before we come on to nowadays, there's a very unusual Hosafa, which is added in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayin. We're familiar with different halachas, where sometimes you have halacha that something is osed in a certain way, chazal can be misakon certain remedies. Here, min ha-Torah, imagine you help someone, you lend them money to buy a house. You've done a gevaldige teva. And now it comes to Shmita, they were meant to have paid you back, they haven't yet paid you back. We have to see still a lot of takonos, when it applies, when it doesn't apply. And Shmita comes along and it wipes out the chuv. Motzah Shmita Shvius, he comes to you with a suitcase of cash, and he wants to pay you back the money. You have a mitzvah deraisa to say Misham Tani Boch. You have a lav not to push him and not to take that money. Gevaldiga Nisoyim says the Gemara, listen to what's meant to happen. The Gemara prescribes what's meant to happen. He comes to you with this money, and he says to you, I want to pay you back the money. You say Misham Tani Boch. No, the chayv has been wiped out. Whether I'm wiping out, whether it's being wiped out, there's no chayv, you don't owe me any money. Says the Gemara, he is meant to say, the Gemara says what he's meant to say, af al pi kein. Nevertheless, I want to give it back to you. And if it's clear that he's giving it back to you as a gift, not as a pirurin chayv, he's not allowed to say, no, I want to pay you back the chayv. No, there is no chayv. But if he says, Alpha Begain, I want to give it back to you, then he's allowed to give it back to you, and you're allowed to take it. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to give a story, where there's one Namayroim, who Taka had lent money, and the Lover came to pay him back, and he said, Mashamatani Bach, and the Lover said, great, okay, and off he went. And Abaya came along, and he saw Amari was upset. He said, "Why are you upset?" He told him what happened. So he went back to him. He said, "What are you doing? You're meant to go and say Afa Bikain. It's not just that. This is what Chazal want you to do. Chazal want you, if the Chayv is wiped out, they want you still to go back and say Afa Bikain." It'd be interesting, Shaila, for the accountants, whether you have to declare it as a gift. Do you now have to take Maisa on this money? Because it's new money. It's new money. This is not the Purayan Chayv. This is a whole new thing.
If somebody stole from you, you didn't lend the money, does the same law apply?
So let's see. Let's see on what halachas and what these things apply and what halachas these things don't apply. The Mishnah is in Shvius already. Shvius, the first nine prokim of Mishnah is Shvius deal with the halachas to do with karka, Shvitas karka. And then in the 10th period, the Mishnayas deal with Shvitas Ksofim, where these things apply. And the Mishnayas tell us some very interesting exclusions to where the mitzvah in its normal form does not apply. Says the Mishnah, Shmita applies to money which was lent. It doesn't apply to money owed as a result of credit in a shop, which is called Hakafas Chanus, or as a result of wages for work which is done, which is called Tzchirus, Tzchapola. It doesn't apply to that. Unless it's been Zokfa Olav B'Milva. Unless the outstanding money has now been crystallized as a debt and it's been called in. Right? So you can have a situation where you have a shop, and you know, many times this time of year when you give Shiurim on Prusbul, you see members of the audience going through a mental check in their heads. Do I owe it? Does anyone owe me money? Do I need to write a puzzle this year? Do I not need to write a puzzle? And you know, now imagine if you have wages which are owed to you, which haven't yet been paid, right? Which most people will have different times when there's wages owed to them. So before we even actually get onto wages and hakafas chanus, there's a separate halacha which is very relevant, which is, even on a chayv, where you've lent money, the halacha is, shmita will only be meshamat if the money is already due to be repaid. That means, today, we're holding within 30 days of Rosh Hashanah, if I would lend someone money today, and the halacha is, stam halva shloshim yoim, normally the person has at least 30 days till he has to pay me back, unless stipulated otherwise. So the halacha is, I don't have to worry about that debt, as far as Shmita is concerned. Because since it's not due to be repaid before Rosh Hashanah, so it doesn't come under the parsha. The parsha is talking about monies for debts which are already due now, monies which I could already collect now. And since this chayv cannot yet be collected now, I have no right to collect it now because he's entitled to still borrow it for another 10 days, whatever it is, after Rosh Hashanah. So the halacha is, in such a case, Shmita doesn't affect the chayv at all. And in fact, if somebody realizes, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that they have a chayv, and they haven't written a prosbul, or they have a chayv which came along after they wrote a prosbul. We're not discussing prosbul yet today, but we will discuss prosbul, but prosbul only works on chayvus that have been lent up to the date, up to the time when the prosbul was written. So if someone discovers they lent money after a prosbul, the best solution, if a person doesn't want Shmita to wipe out the chayv, is to say, but you only have to pay me back after Rosh Hashanah. You send Gedalia, it's not a problem. You're not mechuy to pay me before Rosh Hashanah.
So why didn't the people in Hillel generate?
Excellent question. Excellent question. We'll comment that with Shem. That's a good question. Why much simpler than Puzzle? Why don't you just say etc.?
It's a quick question.
Yes.
If Shmita Ksofin is either me, then why call it Shmita at all?
Because it's relevant to the year of Shmita. The Torah says when Shmait, that for the Shnasa Shmita, part of what Shmita does, if you want to learn, the Chinuch explains that there are certain hashkofas that are involved behind every mitzvah, and the hashkofas that revolve around the mitzvah of Shmita's ksofim are not so different from the halachas which revolve around the mitzvah of Shmita's karka, which is to make us realize that we don't own our own money, and we don't own our own land, and there's Dora Bainu Shleilam, and Panosik comes from him, and to shake us up a little bit from our comfort zone. But the Zman of it is Shmita, oh, right. And according to some Mefarshim, it's the last minute of Shmita. Yeah.
Can the Malva change the date of Piron unilaterally without the...
That's part of what we can see, whether that is a good solution or not. But the easiest solution, if you say you want a thing and you agree with the Lova that, you know, I'll pay you back a bit later, that would be the easiest solution. Let's come back to which halachas does it apply to, which doesn't it apply to. So the Mishnah says, hakofas chanus, which is you've got credit in a shop, you buy, you put it on the tab, and every now and then you pay the tab, hopefully. So does the shopkeeper have to write prosbul, or is Shvitas Ksofen going to apply? So the Mishnah says, as long as it hasn't been zokhva alav b'milva. Now zokhva alav b'milva is an interesting concept. What exactly is required for zokhva alav b'milva? Literally, zokhva alav b'milva means you've transferred it into a debt, or you've crystallized it as a debt. Now, in fact, zokhva alav b'milva has nafka minas in many different areas in halacha, and the makarios for all of them come from Shvias. We all look at Shvias, so the Mishnah in Shvias, try to understand what zokhva alav b'milva. In its purest classic state, zokhva alav b'milva would be, example, you've got a person who does work for you, they finish the work, as it stands, you owe them money for the work that they've done, but they haven't yet issued you an invoice. Now, when they issue them an invoice, they've been zokhva alav b'milva, they've said, you now owe them the money. At that stage, it's like a chayv, and at that stage, you have to pay them the money, and now, if Shmitz will come along, it could wipe out the debt. There are some mafarshim that learn you don't have to go so far. It doesn't have to be that you've already issued the invoice. It could be you just tot it up in your book where you're holding how much is owed. But pashas, we say the zokhva alav b'milva is that you've actually put in a claim from the lover, this is how much you owe, please can you pay. There's a very important Aruch HaShulchan which I have to say before I forget it, because otherwise there'll be a lot of excited people. It says Aruch HaShulchan, many people might be wondering, what happens with school fees? Shul fees, right? If the school, the meister, doesn't write a prosbul, you know, so, which we, again, we haven't yet dealt with what prosbul is, will the chayv be wiped out? At least midrash rabbanon, will it be wiped out? So there's a famous Aruch HaShulchan. But once it's been zokhva alav b'milva, once it's been crystallized, they've issued an invoice, they've issued you a further invoice, they've issued you a chaser letter, and they say, where are the fees? Please, can you pay? Right? So the halacha is, once they've been zokhva alav b'milva, then it's a loan. Yeah. And Shmita's Meshamah, it's Mefurash Mishnah. Right? So I'm asking specifically about once it's been zokhva alav b'milva.
Just an invoice, that's not...
Sorry?
If you get one invoice...
Yes, they've said, this is how much you owe, please can you pay. That's what invoice means. Invoice means, please can you pay. Again, if they issue a statement, fine, same thing. Same thing, they've tot it up and said, this is how much you owe. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the chayvos shechayev lehekdesh. This is Aruch HaShulchan Simon Samuel Zayin Siv Ches. The chayvos shechayev lehekdesh, and debts which are owed to hekdesh. Bein kotshe mizbeach, bein kotshe bedek habayis. First, we're speaking about the original hekdesh, the Beis Hamikdash. Chayev b'chol inyan, their chayev and shmita doesn't affect it at all. The harikziv lo yigois esrei ehu. Says an apostle, you're not allowed to put in lo yigois in the singular. You as an individual are not allowed to put in a claim against your fellow individual. The gizbo is allowed to put in the claim, no problem. So what happens if money is owed to a shul or to a gemach or to a charity? They don't really have a din of hektish with the normal chumadik halachas of hektish. Kudush is bedik habayis. This is not included in the parasha of Egoist. Money owed to a meisad is not included in what the Torah is talking about, and Shmita will not be mashamat, it won't affect it at all. Now let's just... That applies to all monies owed by tzedakah. There are other reasons as well that Aruch HaShulchan brings down as well. If you make a neder to give money to tzedakah, and even in theory, if Shmita would have, let's say, make a neder to give money to an oni, an individual to an individual, right? An oni comes to you and says, please can you help me out? And you say, yes, I'm going to give you £100. Right? So now, so to speak, you pledged £100 to the oni, right? Do we say that Shmita is meshamat or not? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, even if Shmita would be meshamat, that wouldn't take away your neder. One is a momnistic halacha, one is a yodedic halacha, and the neder would still be outstanding. And you still have to be mekayim your neder.
Even though it's a verbal agreement.
A neder is a neder. A neder to stock is a neder. Neder is always a verbal agreement.
A shul fee is called a stock, or not?
We don't even have to come on to that, because since it's owed to a meister, it says Aruch HaShulchan, it's got nothing to do with this parsha. Shmita won't affect it at all.
It's the other way around.
Sorry? But without even coming on, I'm saying every school, yes, it's all meisters, which Shmita doesn't affect it at all.
Even the fees.
Sorry? Yes, even the fees.
So the other way around, if the tzedakah comes to repay a loan, you've lent money to the tzedakah or to the gemach, and they come to repay you.
So
are you mechuyev to say mishamatani?
So there could be your mechuyev to be mishamatani. Because the maestro, you don't have this.
You're the person.
You're the person.
Both ways.
The chemical, I hear.
Yeah.
So there's a very important sniff to this, all these halachas, which is found at the beginning of Peshmishwa Simon Samuel Zain. The Mechaber already tells us in Shvitzes Ksofim Heges Ma'atir, Elam is Mansha Yovel Noig. Shvitzes Ksofim is only Noig Midaraisa, like we said, when there's Yovel, nowadays there's no Yovel. When we give a Seifim Shvitzes Ksofim Heges Vizvan Azeb Bechol Mokim. Says the Mechaber, Parmish Rabbonon Shvitzes Ksofim is Noig, and it's Bechol Mokim. It's not only in Eretz Yisrael, it's not like Shvitzes Karaka, it applies wherever we are. Says Ramo, who are Sklomus HaPoiskim? That's Takad Alocha. Poiskim, Paskin, Shmitz's Ksofim applies nowadays. However, Al Yesh Eimim, to Ein Shmitz and Heges, is Man Azeh. But there is a Shitta that says that nowadays, Shmitz's Ksofim doesn't apply at all. V'nireh, Shaleim Somchu B'medinis Elu, says Ramo, already where he lived, there are many people who seem to rely on this Shitta. She'ein Noigin, Din Shmitz Klal, is Man Azeh. This is not a new modern thing that people stop keeping Shvitas Ksofim. Already in the time of the Rosh, there were members of Klal Yisrael who stopped being Geirus Shvitas Ksofim. The Rosh shried, you've got to keep Shvitas Ksofim. And they weren't really knowing. But the Meister says that the Ramah, that we can maybe understand different reasons why there's such a minhag not to keep it anymore, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is that we keep Shvitas Ksofim, and we keep Shvitas Ksofim nowadays, midrabbanan. We mentioned that Shmita applies not just only to chovos that come along from a halva, but also applies to chovos which come along from rent, from goods provided, from wages for things done, as long as it's already been zakfa lov b'mulva, as long as it's already been called in, so to speak, as a loan. The halacha is, if you lend money but you have a mashkin, you have security, then we look at it almost as if you've already been paid. And since you're holding in your hand, so to speak, the security for the item, the halacha is that shmita is not mashamt. It'd be interesting, Shaila, if a person lends money and they have a charge on a property. So is a charge on a property the same or even better than a regular type of mashkin? And what would that be? There's another very interesting shayla, which really opens a whole massive sugya, which is way beyond the time that we have now. And it's a sugya which you have to be careful, because now it's a swell, the post can follow one mahalach, but here it could be different due to different circumstances. What happens if a person has paid you a check, and you haven't yet cashed the check, you haven't yet put the check into the bank before Rosh Hashanah? What is the status of a check? So imagine there's a lot of different scenarios of this shayla. You can have this shayla if you've lent someone money and they've paid you back with a check, but you haven't yet put the check in the bank. You can have this scenario where a person has given you a check as a gift, which might be an entirely different shayla, and you haven't yet put it in the bank. And the shayla in all these cases, it will be, are you allowed to go and put the check into the bank after Rosh Hashanah? In other words, the nekuda of the shayla is, what is a check? Do we look at a check, when you give somebody a check, that ba'etzem, nothing's actually happened. He's just given you a paper which you can take to the bank and ask the bank to honor it and pay you the money. And until that happens, nothing's really happened at all. In which case, it's as if you haven't got it yet. You're no better off. It's not like a mashkin. And therefore, shmita will be mashamat and there'll be a problem to put in the bank. So you go to the other extreme and say a check is like money. And a person's given you a check and it's as if he's already paid you now. And therefore, there's no problem at all putting it into the bank. Or do you say that a check is the shtayis chayvus? It's the shtayis chayvus where he's been mechayev himself to pay you money. And therefore, how will that affect the halacha? Now this shayla really comes up in many, many different areas. It comes up in Hilchos Kinyonim, it comes up in Hilchos Shomim, it comes up in Hilchos Yerusha, it comes up in many, many, many different areas. And a lot of the poskim who paskin, analyzing it based on what they've been told the law is in the place where they are, so you have to be careful, because for example, in Eretz Yisrael, it's illegal to stop a check. You can do it, But it's illegal to do it, and you could be sued for it afterwards. And the reason is because the whole culture in Yisrael is you write a check, you give it to one person in the makolet, he gives it to the drink supplier, gives it to the next guy. I have a friend who was a bank in Yisrael told me once the check came into the bank, there was no room on the back for more signatures. Much of it full. So a check is currency. It's mamashayv lasecher. So if it's currency, then it's a whole different shayla. This shayla comes up, by the way, what happens if you lend somebody money, and he pays you back with a check, or you buy goods with a check, and they lose the check. So they ask you, you know, can I have another check? I'll cover you, I'll underwrite you if anything goes wrong, maybe you stop it, not stop it. Also, all included in the shayla. So we can't answer that today, we've run out of time. But Etzem, included in the shayla would be here in England, where it's not illegal, as far as I'm aware, it's not illegal to stop a check. You can stop a check, and it's not mummish passed from hand to hand in the same level as in Eretz Yisrael. Pashas, nobody would say a check in England is considered money. Whether it's a schaivus is a separate shayla.
Assuming it's not postdated.
Yes, 100%. Assuming it's not postdated. And another shayla to bear in mind as well, we're going to end off in Mitzvah, we'll carry on in the next year, is what happens if you have money in an Israeli bank account? So if you have money in an Israeli bank account or a mortgage with an Israeli bank, right? So goes both ways. Or Jewish bank, doesn't have to be Israeli. A Yiddish bank. You can have an Israeli bank account which is not Jewish. But with a Yiddish bank, the shayla will be as well, how do we look at the money in the bank? Is that something where if they haven't written a puzzle, if you haven't written a puzzle, is that going to be relevant to the shayla? It's going to be continued.
That's a separate point.
That's because it bangs you. What happens? It went on and off.
What's better out the...